using our hymn books this morning for the morning service. Hopefully none of you will mind if we do something slightly different. Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 74. 74, Singing I Go. We're going to stand for this first song, if you wouldn't mind. Number 74 in the hymn book.
Oh, stay God, I'm glad.
here today. Some announcements that we want to make. First of all, some of you on Wednesday evening received one already. There is going to be a question and answer time following the morning service. And those of you who did not receive one yet, we'd like you to have a copy of the questionnaire that Brother Welton filled out so that those questions aren't re-asked, okay? So if you did not receive one, please put your hand up. That way that Brother Jim will take care of making sure you get one. While he's doing that, I'll continue on with announcements. Like I just mentioned, there is going to be a question and answer time following the morning service. We hope that you will stay and be part of that. Anyone can ask questions, so we certainly welcome that. Also, just before the question and answer time, we need to have a short business meeting. It's a discussion about the heat situation here at the church and how we can resolve that. So anyone is welcome to stay for that part as well. So I hope you'll stick with us today. Also today, there will be an evening service at 6:30 p.m. Hope you'll come back and be with us for this Sunday night. Right, I think that's all the announcements I'm aware of at the moment. Oh, that's correct. My apologies. I did announce this in Sunday school, but I'll repeat it. last night, the committee met with Brother Welton, and he has agreed to be our pastoral candidate.
Hey.
So that's part of why we're having this question and answer time. That way, he gets to know us, and we get to know him, and that's important. We've gotten a good idea based on the preaching and, you know, the conversations we've had, both as a church body and as individuals. But obviously, I think it's important that we get to know each other as well as we can. So, hope you'll be here for all of this today, and trust the services today will be a blessing to you. All right, at this time, there is a special. All right, let's take our hymn books once again and turn to 375. 375. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you. just a little branch on a mighty tree.
Thank the Lord we're attached to the mighty tree. And the tree holds us and we don't hold the tree. Amen. And so this morning must be I laid on my heart last night to try to do a special also, if you don't mind. Since two have already been done, but I'd like to do one for you also. Before we get into the message this morning. Hopefully my voice doesn't go out. Here we go, let's try this. Hail my ever-blessed Jesus, only Thee I wish to sing. To my soul Thy name is precious, Thou my prophet, priest, and king. Oh, what mercy flows from heaven, oh, what joy and happiness. Love I'm much forgiven, I'm a miracle of grace. Love I'm much forgiven, I'm a miracle of grace. Once with Adam's race in ruin, unconcerned in sin I lay, swift destruction still pursuing, till my Savior pass this way. Witness all ye host of heaven, my Redeemer's tenderness. Love I much forgiven, I'm a miracle of grace. Love I much forgiven, I'm a miracle of grace. Sing ye bright angelic choir, praise the Lamb enthroned above, whilst astonished I admire God's free grace and boundless love. That blessed moment I received him, filled my soul with joy and peace. Love I much forgiven, I'm a miracle of grace. Love I much forgiven, I'm a miracle of grace. Amen, brethren. Amen. He is worthy of all glory, honor, power, and praise this morning. Amen. If you take your Bible this morning, you please stand for the reading of God's Word and look at 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 22. And if you hold your hand there, I'm going to read after that verse. We're going to look over at John chapter number 10 and verse number 1. So 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 22, we'll read that verse, and then we'll flip on over to John chapter number 10. The Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Flip over to John chapter 10, verse number 1. The Bible says here in John 10, 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by his name and leadeth them out. And when he has put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for the sheep know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee for him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. I thank you just for the opportunity, Lord, this morning to have voices that we can lift up this morning and praise you with them. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct. I pray you give me the words to speak, Father. Move me out of the way, Lord, and help us this morning, Lord, just to love you more. And we ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. This morning, I would like to do a message and talk to you about sheep. And the reason I read that first verse there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 22 is, before we're saved, we're dogs and sows. Before we're saved, before God indwells in us and makes us a new creature in him, you're either a dog or a sow, and a dog usually shows itself. You can clean a dog up, but eventually it's going to go back to its vomit. And you can take a pig out of the pigsty, and you can clean it all up, and you can put ribbons on, and you can put perfume on it, and you can make it smell all nice and look all pretty. But after a while, that pig is going to get back to what it is. It's a pig, and it's going to go back to wallowing in the mire. But a sheep is something different. And I believe when you become saved, God makes you one of his own sheep. And you're now part of his sheepfold, and he is now your shepherd, and you should hear his voice. So looking at the first thing here concerning sheep this morning, the question I have for you is, do you hear his voice? Are you being led by the shepherd of your souls this morning, that great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ? One thing about all sheep is that they need a shepherd and they need a home. Any studying you do on sheep are one of the few animals that cannot live without a shepherd. And we're going to look at that this morning. A sheep need a shepherd. A book I've been reading about, a book called, it was written back in the late 60s, early 70s, if my memory serves me correct, and written by a man by the name of Robert Bowen. He was a great shepherd, a world-renowned shepherd, traveled the world all over, teaching how to take care of sheep, how to shear sheep, how to watch over sheep, how to be a good shepherd to sheep. And he wrote this little book on sheep, and I pulled a few things out of there, and I'd like to go over it with you this morning. The sheep is one of the only animals in the world that can be lost with only a few miles of its home. Most animals have been given an uncanny skill to find a way home. And what he's noticed about sheep is if sheep get separated from the flock, they have a hard time figuring out where to go back and how to get back home. And they need that shepherd to go out there and get them. Jesus Christ is our chief shepherd, and we need to follow his voice in all matters of our life. Does the shepherd lead you this morning, or have you wandered away from home? Have you wandered away from the things of God and where you need to be with God? Was there ever a time in your life where you were closer to God and you desire to get back there? Come to the shepherd and allow the shepherd to bring you back into where you need to be this morning. Psalm 80, verse number 1 says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." Isaiah 40, 10 and 11 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." One thing that's wonderful about our Savior is that he gently leads us along. Our Savior is not a hard taskmaster like you find there back in Egypt. No, our Savior gently leads us along, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful this morning that our God's a God of long suffering and of mercy and of grace. Brethren, if you just think of the opportunities that we provide God to take us out. See, God's not trying to take us out. He's doing all means to try to keep us in by his mercy and his grace, because he loves us and he gave his life for us. Psalm 23, 1, you all know this verse. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Listen to the voice of the shepherd. He loves you, he cares for you, and he desires what's best for you in your life. The second thing about sheep is that they're always hungry and thirsty. One thing about sheep is they like to eat. Okay? They like to eat. People may not be aware of it, but sheep spend most of their lives eating and drinking, grazing, munching, and ruminating. They're often thirsty and hungry, especially when left on their own without a shepherd. Sheep cannot find water and food on their own to survive. It's been said this about sheep: once it has devoured its range, it is unable to seek new grounds, but it simply wanders aimlessly, eating the stubble and roots until there is none but dirt left. Abundant pastures may lie only a few miles away upon a higher plain, but the sheep on its own is incapable of sensing it or finding it. What this shepherd has said is that sheep will eat up the pasture that's right there, that's before him. But if it's all eaten up, they're not the type of animal to go look and find other pastures to where they can feed. They'll stay there and they'll eat the roots and eat whatever is left there. And if left there, they'll die. Make sure, first of all, that you're one of the Lord's sheep. Second, get to the place that the Lord would have you to be fed. It is essential that a born-again believer joins themselves to a local church and a body of believers. Brethren, one thing I believe this morning as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants you somewhere. I don't believe in wandering sheep. Because when you wander, you're not getting what you need. And this is what I think this morning. If this church can't give you what you need, you can't be fed in this church, whoever the pastor may be, then get to where you need to be. If that means there's a church in Arkansas that you know that's a good church that you can be a member of, go to Arkansas. If you need to go to Alaska, go to Alaska. If you need to go to Florida, go to Florida. But wherever that church is at, you need to get there. But brother, my job, forget the job. Being in a local church with a local body of believers and joining yourself to it is more important than a job. Get where you need to be. If this church can't feed you, get to one that can. But most people today, they put more emphasis on the job, on my family, on whatever else is around me in my community. I've lived here for 40 years. How can I move? No, get where you need to be underneath the shepherd you need to be under. Because you need that food. You need that flock. I don't believe in wandering sheep. Because wandering sheep, as we see, get themselves into a mess. And it's not a good thing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 14, for the body is not one member, but many. We need the body of Christ. We need the body of believers to go forward and fight this good fight of faith. Number two, they need clean and pure water, and it must be accessible at all times. It must be free from contamination and pollution. It cannot be moving rapid or fast, for sheep naturally prefer still waters. Sheep have also been known to drink up their water supply and simply stay in that same spot, staring at that drying mud hole before they die. So the same thing with water. Sheep do not have the skill to find water. Other animals can travel for miles and miles and miles in search of water. Sheep, if their water supply dries up, they'll stand there and look at it. And if it's gone, it turns to mud, they'll just stay there and they'll die. So sheep need water, and they need still water, and they need pure water. And the pure water we need as sheep comes from this King James Bible and no other Bible. This is the pure word of God, and this is where we need to go. This is our watering hole to get our thirst quenched, and our Savior also. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Amen. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says, the word of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Some of your newer Bibles that I was looking at this week, I think it's any NSV or any whatever one of those, not the NIV. They changed this verse, Psalm 12, 6 and 7, completely around to talk about the Jews. No, it's talking about God's words. It's not talking about God's going to preserve the Jews, though He will. He's talking about in these verses that He's going to preserve His words. The water must be still and peaceable. So what does it mean for sheep that the water be still? James chapter 3, verse 17 says this, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy being treated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You say, Brother Chris, well, how can I know if what I'm receiving is the pure water, the still water that's coming from God to help my soul? It's peaceable. God's not the author of confusion. There's been often times in my life I've tried to figure out, well, is this, Lord, is this your will? Is this your direction? Is this what you would have me to do? Is it peaceable? Or are you agitated? If you get agitated and you're kind of, I don't know, it might not be coming from God. What comes from God is peace, peaceable, and still waters. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 3. Here's another key to knowing the direction that God would give you. Proverbs chapter number 3. I'll take this off. I'm getting hot. Proverbs chapter number 3. And look at verse number 13. Direction from God, peaceable waters, still waters. Proverbs 3, verse 13, the Bible says, happy is that man that findeth wisdom, and that man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her right hand is riches and honor. Look at verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Peaceable ways, pleasant ways, and ways that will bring happiness to your heart. Those are the ways of the Lord. Sheep also need a quiet and restful place in order to ruminate. One thing about sheep is after they eat and they drink their water, if the shepherd does the things the right way, a shepherd provides a place to where they can go off into a shade or an area where it's cool and it's calm, and the sheep lay down and they start to ruminate. And what that means is they pull that food up that they have in their stomach. They have a four-chambered stomach. They pull that food back up again, and it's called, they chew the cud. They bring that food up again on it, and they start chewing it some more. They start digesting it more in their mouth, and they swallow again. So sheep need a restful and quiet place in order to ruminate. This requires the ability to get still and wait upon the Lord for us. See, what we take is we take the word of God, and then we should go off into a place on our own and bring it back up again, what was preached, what was taught, and go over it again at home and see what more that God can give you. This is one thing that I believe. I believe that the brethren that are in the church can get just as much, if not more, sometimes than a pastor. I don't believe in this, you know, the pastor and then the lay. No, I believe that the sheep, all of God's sheep can get something out of God's word. You're a sheep, I'm a sheep. And if we spend time in this book, I believe the Holy Spirit can bear witness to it and teach you what you need to learn. But you got to get still. You see, if it's not a still environment, if it's not a quiet and peaceful environment, and there's a lot of distractions, sheep can't ruminate. Actually, they start getting agitated. It messes with their system, and they can't get that they can't get the nutrients and that food like they need from a quiet and peaceable place. Take some time in your daily walk with God to pull off into a quiet place, open God's word, and let the Holy Spirit bear witness to truth and lead, guide, and direct you as you meditate upon what God has said. That's the signs of a true sheep. Can you get something from God's word? And if I make a serious point this morning, that's one of the most serious points. Do you get something from God's word? When you open it up, is it alive to you? That's one thing that happened to me when I got saved. This book become alive to me. The hymn book became alive to me. You say, Brother Chris, what are you talking about? I grew up in church. At the cross. I've sang that song so many times I can't remember. But the first time I sung it after I got saved, the lights were on and somebody was indwelling me. At the cross where I first saw the light. Oh, the lights are on now. Because the Holy Spirit now dwells within, and there's a change in my life that I can't explain, and I can't explain what happened between me and this book. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book showed me where I was at even more after I was saved, and I said, oh Lord, help me. I'm vile, I'm wicked, and it's even of your mercy. I can't believe that you saved me. The longer I'm saved, the more I'm astounded at God's mercy and that he puts up with me and he allows me to continue going on for him. Because this book, when you get in this book, you realize what you truly are. And without Christ, we're absolutely nothing. Without Christ in our life, we're nothing without him. We're a mere living, and I hope you understand, we're a mere living pile of dirt. Without him, without his life infused into our soul, we're nothing but a pile of dirt. We die, we go back to the grave. The Bible says in the beginning there, God breathed into the nostrils of man and man became a living soul. You have a soul this morning, and that soul ought to desire to serve the Savior. Because unfortunately, this body is going back to the grave. And we're not going to be here forever unless the Lord calls us home through the rapture. But if he doesn't call us home for the rapture, the ways of all men, women, and children, back to the grave, back to the dirt. The soul, one of two places. To heaven for eternity with the precious Savior, or to hell forever separated from God. It's a serious thing this morning. Many view sheep as being soft, white, clean, and pure. In real life, though, sheep are seldom clean, pure, and white. In the real world, they are more likely stained and colored by their natural habitat. Their fleece contains grease, dirt, seeds, vegetation blown by the wind, and picked up from contact with grass and soil and brush. You see, sheep cannot clean themselves like other animals. Once they become dirty, they remain that way until a shepherd comes and cleans them up. A sheep is one of the only animals that we know of that cannot clean itself. A dog cleans itself. A cat cleans itself. Other animals take time to groom themselves. But a sheep cannot clean itself. Once it becomes dirty, it stays dirty until the shepherd comes by and cleans it up. When I was down in the Dominican Republic, we had taken a trip with some individuals where we were at serving to go to a medical clinic, and it was about 3 hours away. And we drove to this medical clinic and we dropped the people off. And as they were seeing the doctors and nurses, myself, I just stood outside with the other missionary. And I was standing outside waiting. And I looked down this like dirt pathway, and I looked down the end down there. And I was like, what is that? And I saw this animal and it was eating trash, like a bunch of trash was laid out there. And I said, what is that? And so I got my camera and I went down further and I said, oh, that's a sheep. And I still got the picture today. That is one of the roughest looking sheep I've ever seen in my entire life. It was so dirty. It was so filthy. Its wool was all matted and entangled and nasty. And here it is feeding on trash instead of where it should have been, in a pasture eating grass. And the first thought that comes to my mind is how many Christians today are like that sheep. They're filthy, they're nasty, they got stuff all in their wool, they're not with the shepherd, they have no shepherd, and they're eating garbage. That's a sad state for a sheep. Sheep cannot clean themselves. So we as sheep in Lord's flock need to be cleansed up daily by our precious Savior and His Word. Take your Bible, look at John chapter number 13. John chapter 13. So as sheep, we need to go to our shepherd. John chapter 13, look at verse number 3. John chapter 13, verse number 3. John 13, 3 says this, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given Him all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and lay aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Take your Bible, look over at 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says here, 1 John 1 verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So this thing with sheep, once you're a sheep, you're always a sheep. You can't lose your salvation. Once you're born again of God into the family of God, you cannot lose it. It'd be like you changing forever who your father and your mother was. You may not know who your dad and mom is, but guess what? You had a dad and a mom, or else you would not be sitting here. You did not have a dad and a dad, or a mom and a mom, but you had a dad and a mom to get here. And that's the way God set it up. And no matter what you do, you might not like your dad and your mom. You might not like who they are. You might never know who they were. But the fact is, the matter is, you had a dad and a mom, and nothing you can do can change the fact that they're your father and your mother. You can move to the middle of Alaska, change your name, change your clothes, change your whatever, say that they're not your dad and mom. No matter what you do, they're still your dad and your mom. And it's the same way with becoming a child of God. You cannot lose it. You are now His. You are bought with a price, and you're now His. And you cannot leave that. You've been born again, and you're now His child, and He takes responsibility for you. And He's a good father. And any good father loves his children, but also chasten his children. So what this is talking about here is talking about this difference between fellowship and standing. A sheep needs to get cleaned up, not so much because of his standing. His standing is already set in Jesus Christ.
He is all our hope and righteousness. Upon Christ, the solid rock I stand. I'm in him and he's in me. It's not talking about our standing in Christ. It's talking about our fellowship in Christ. So when I say you need to get cleaned up, how is your fellowship with the Savior? Is there some cleaning up that needs to take part in your life? Do you need to go to the shepherd and have him clean up some aspects of your life? Verse number 8 in 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse number 8. But we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Jesus Christ, when you get saved, didn't take you immediately home to heaven. He left you still in this body. And we still have flesh. And this flesh has not been redeemed. Therefore, this flesh can still sin. But the Spirit that's been born again of God, it cannot sin. It is completely God's. But he left us here in this situation in order to lay up treasures in heaven. So now the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And that's why you had that struggle in your life. And that's one of the ways you know you're saved, is because now you have that internal struggle that you didn't used to have before. Now you have the power to live for God, whereas before you did not have that power to live for God. Because you're now a new creature in him. You are now one of his sheep. And he can clean you up if you're willing to just be open and honest with him. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Get your fellowship back with the Lord. Our Father doesn't like dirty sheep. If your fellowship needs to be made right this morning, take some time and get right with God and get back in a fight for the Lord. Another thing about sheep, they were never meant to forage in new, soft, highly top-dressed pastures. Top-dressed pastures, from what I can learn, is pastures that are fertilized. They got fertilizer in them. Sheep were never meant to really spend the majority of their time in soft, easy areas. The result of these areas requires, I'm going to be nice this morning, the result is a wet motion, which soon sticks to the wool and quickly covers the rear of the sheep with a mass of drags, sheep droppings. There's no way that the poor sheep can cleanse itself. The drags simply become worse and worse, and the stain works deeper and deeper into the fleece. Take your Bible and look at Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. Romans 12, verses number 1 and 2. What happens with these sheep is they spend too much time with easy things. They spend too much time in things that they like to spend time in instead of what God likes you to spend time in. And what I mean by that is one of the dangers, this is what we got going on today, and I think it's a blessing, but I think it's also a danger, is online preaching. All right, so somebody at home, or cassette tapes or CDs or whatever, they always put in the sermons that they like to listen to. That's why it's important to be part of a local church. Because you just might want to come one day and a pastor's going to say everything that you don't like. And if you're honest, if the pastor's in the right place and he's got the right mind and the right spirit, it's not really the pastor you're mad at. It's something between you and the Lord. If it's being done the right way, you're like, Lord, forgive me. It's not the man, though I hate him right now because of what he's saying. You know, why was he outside my front door last night? Does he tap my house? How does he know these things are going on in my life? And it ain't nothing from the pastor. It's coming from God. The Lord's ringing the bell. The Lord is ringing the bell. But see, if you stay at home, and you're not part of a local church, or you're bouncing from church to church to church to church to church, you ain't accountable to nothing. And you can hear and listen to what you want to hear and listen to. Well, I really like this preacher, and I like this preacher. Now listen to me. I'm not saying it's wrong to listen to other preaching. I'm saying you ought to have a local church that you're accountable to and sitting in when the doors are open. That's what I'm saying. But some just pick and choose what they want, kind of like these sheep here. They go to the nice pasture, the easy pasture, the soft pasture, and I'll just listen to this all day long. But guess what? You need other things too. You just don't need one form of diet. You need your diet needs to be broadened here, like with these sheep. They like the wet, soft ground. Well, it causes them to have a wet motion, and it stinks. They got a poor attitude. And they need cleansing from the shepherd. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, look at this, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and be approved what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Stick with what the Word says. Stick with your local church and be faithful to it. Another thing that's dangerous to sheep that walk on wet ground or dry ground or easy ground is that they will get foot rot. So what happens to a sheep if he spends time, all his time on soft ground, walking around on soft ground, he can get what's called, especially if that ground has a little bit of moisture to it and he spends all his time on it, he can get what's called foot rot. And it progressively gets worse. So what they need is, what a shepherd does is he takes those sheep and he'll lead them sometimes to areas that are rough and steep, that they have gravel, that they have stone, that's not necessarily pleasurable to the sheep as they're walking. And most sheep, when they're led those ways, will kind of buck against it. They don't want to go that way. But the shepherd's like, no, you need to go this way because it's for your own good, because your paw pads, for lack of better words, is getting too soft. They need to be hardened up a little bit, unless you get foot rot. How is your walk with the Lord? Tribulations and afflictions are needed in a believer's life so as to keep him close to the Lord and their flesh in subjection and crucified upon that cross. We need afflictions and tribulations, but we don't like them. Who does? Nobody likes tribulations. Nobody likes afflictions, but they're needful to help our walk with God. If everything always goes perfect and you always have the amount of money in the bank and the house is always perfect and the car is always perfect, you just have this perfect life, why do you need a Savior? And that's the mindset you can get. Why should I come to God? I got everything I need. I have no problems. And that's part of the problem with our society. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And look at our country. We're a very prosperous country. We're a very prosperous country. Take a trip down to Haiti and spend just a couple days down there and you'll realize real quick how good this country is. Live over in the Dominican Republic, take a trip to North Korea or to China or somewhere like, and you'll see real quick how wonderful, blessed this country is. But the prosperity of this nation is destroying it because it's a nation that's a bunch of fools that's rejected God. And it's going to be its downfall. It's going to be a downfall in this country because of our prosperity. Most people want the right president, I think we want, in office, not because they want godliness, but because they want to keep their stuff. Don't let the other guy get in because he's going to take all my stuff and I might lose this and I might lose that. He might, my tax bracket and all. They're concerned with this world, and that's why the only reason they want the other guy in there. They want nothing to do with God. They're worried about their things. And most Christians today are worried about their things rather than worried about God. This news flash for you, brethren, this world is going to get burned up. Nothing that we see or know on this planet at some point in the future is going to be it's no longer going to exist. So why do we place such emphasis on it? Brethren, look, I'm preaching that. Look, I'm sitting right here. It ain't Brother Chris to you. No, it's God to all of us. And like I ain't got it right in my life. There's times I'm still drawn away to the world. But I ask God quickly when God pricks the heart, oh Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry, God. I got my eyesight off of you. Refocus my attention, God. Deal with me and help me to stay faithful to you. Lord, I don't want to get called home to heaven and appear before you naked. Lord, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before you someday. Lord, when I stand before your presence, I pray, God, that there'll be something there that I can give to you because of what I did back down there on planet Earth. Because you're worthy of it, God. Because you're worthy of it. Because you love me. And I want to love you back. And the times I let you down, God help me in those times I let you down to get back up and keep fighting. Keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. Though I'm bruised, though I'm beat up, though I'm broken, I'm going to go on for you, Lord. Though I might not be able to run, I'll walk. And when I can't walk, I'll crawl. When I can't crawl, I'll grab onto somebody that's going by me in that direction and I'll have them pull me. But God help me to keep going forward for you. Help me not to be a sheep that's ashamed that you're coming, Lord. Sheep have no natural self-defense. Sheep cannot protect themselves. Sheep need a shepherd and one another for protection. If trouble comes into a sheepfold and the shepherd is distracted for a moment, most of the time the sheep will try to gather together and the rams will try to stand out front to try to at least stop the attack. And that's why we need one another. We need to be vigilant for one another. and be aware of anything that may come into this congregation. You say, Brother Chris, how big do you want the church to be? If I was a pastor, how big? I want it only as big as God wants it. And I only want here who God wants here. You say you don't want the church of 500 people. If God wants 500 people, then amen. But if God just wanted 5 people and they're a faithful flock, then just 5 people is fine with me. Because it's not about numbers. Look at Gideon. God said too much. Too much, too many, too many, too many, too many, way too many. 300. 300 against all them? Yeah, just 300, lest you say you did it. Our churches are a mess today because we're looking at the edifice that we can build. We're looking at the congregation filled and God's nowhere in sight. And I'm talking about independent Baptists. Church is filled. Everything's perfect. Everybody looks perfect. The makeup's perfect. The hair's perfect. The clothes are perfect. And God's nowhere in sight. Because we've turned just like the world does it. It's become a business instead of a walk with God. I'd rather have 5 in this church that love God and want to serve God than 5,000 have it look the most beautiful thing could ever be. God help us. God help us. God help us. How many followed the Savior? 12. When he went to the cross, how many were there? 0. The closer you get to the cross, the less people are going to be with you. Not a lot of people want to go to that cross. No, let me sit in my nice soft seat. I ain't got nothing wrong with the seats. Understand what I'm saying this morning? We got soft seats too. But what I'm saying is, are you just here to punch your ticket? I did what I'm supposed to do for the week. I spent time in some church with God. Or do you really want to serve him and love him Monday through Sunday? Every waking aspect, is it about the Savior? And what can I do for him and those that are around me? Because we got a lost and dying world. And there's still people out there that need to be saved. There's still people out there that need to hear the truth. There's a handful of corn on top of the mountain.
You're helping us, preacher. Come on.
You willing to go up there and get it? I know I said there are dogs and there are pigs out there, but they need to be sheep. I'm not about programs unless God's in it. Programs is not the answer. Show me Bible, show me chapter verse on that, where God says programs are the answer. Take your Bible, open it up, and show me where God says you need to do this program, you need to do that program, you need to do this program, because that's what I want it. No, you ain't going to find it nowhere in this book. But you find God working with men like David. Where was David before he was anointed king? Who was he with? The few sheep out in the field. Who did the angels reveal the birth of the Savior to? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the doctors in the Bible colleges and the institutes and all that? No. So some shepherds on the backside of a hillside in the middle of the night freezing their tail off trying to watch the sheep. We've missed it, brethren. We're missing it. And I'm not against education. I'm not against learning the Word of God. But when we put our faith and trust in that instead of that and walk with God, we're in trouble. And that's the point we've come to today in our independent Baptist circles. We put more emphasis on intellect and Bible knowledge than a walk with God.
Amen. Good.
And a prayer life with God. And wanting to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And no matter what the world calls me, I'm going to go on for Jesus Christ. Amen. But see, we want the world to look at us like, well, we're just like you. We're good like you. See, we got our doctors and we got our intellect and we're smart too. And they don't want to look bad. They don't want to look like a sheep. Look, if I had to take a poll before I preached this morning, I said, what's one animal you would like to be if you God can make you any animal? Now, one person's going to say, preacher, I want to be a sheep. No, you're going to say you want to be a bear, you want to be an eagle, you want to be a wolf, you want to be a horse, you want to be a lion, something neat. Nobody's going to say, yeah, I want to be a little sheep. Bah. No, you want to be something tough and neat. I want to fly up to heaven as an eagle. I want to be a bear that can go through that and have to... Nobody's going to say, for the most part, nobody's going to say, I want to be a sheep. Why? Because what's so special about sheep? They can't do nothing without a shepherd. There's nothing regal or prestigious about a sheep. But our Savior was one. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The precious Son of God became that little lamb for you and I. But no, I want to be a bear. No, I want this world to know that I'm a lion. No, I'm a helpless sheep. I'm a helpless sheep in need of a savior. That's all I am, brethren. That's all I am. And if you're looking for a pastor that needs a degree or has his doctorate, I'm not your man. I'm not your man. I want to love God. I want to serve him. I want to finish my course. I'm not your man. Sheep have no natural self-defense. Sheep can easily be wounded and cast down. It's been said about sheep that when their wool gets long and they don't have a shepherd to take care of their wool, that if they find an area that's kind of got a little bit of a hollow to it, a little holler area, a sheep, if he's depressed or cast down, he'll go over to that little area and he'll lay down and he'll roll over, and it's called, the sheep will become what's called being cast. They get stuck in this position, in this situation, and they can die when they get into this situation. So their fleece is so full, they come down, they lay down because they're depressed for whatever reason, and they roll over in this little circle hollow out area, and then they can't get back up. And they're in this depressed state to where they can't move, and they need a shepherd to come by and lift them up out of that depression. For believers who find that they struggle with being in a depressed mood must learn to lean upon the chief shepherd of their soul. Look at Psalm 142. I'm almost done this morning. Psalm 142, verse number 1. Psalm 102, verse 41. Sheep are prone to get into a depressed mood. They're prone to get down. They're prone to get overwhelmed because they're sheep and they need a savior. Look at Psalm 142, verse number 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Look at verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, beheld there was no man that would know me, or know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. When we're down, when we're cast out, and we're in that situation where we feel like we can't get up, we need a Savior to come by and pick us up. And when a Savior comes by and picks up that sheep, most of the time that sheep, when it gets picked up, when it's laying in that condition, its stomach goes all the way over to the one side. So when he picks the sheep back up, oftentimes the sheep can't walk on its own because it's not settled out yet, and it needs to lean against the legs of the shepherd as he leads and guides it till it can go off by itself again. If you're struggling, lean upon God's word and your precious Savior till you get your feet again. Lean upon a good brother, upon a good sister in Christ till you get your legs again. Because you're not alone. You're not alone. The devil tries to isolate you in your mind and says you're the only one that has all these troubles. You're not. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. We all go through the same things, some more than others, but we all have our struggles. And that's why we all need one another in the shepherd. Romans 15:1-4 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and to not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The last thing I'm going to close up with this morning, one of the last things, there's many things that affect sheep, but I'm just going to end with this one. There's a lot to it. Sheep gets what's called nasal bot. What that is a sheep is prone to flies, blot flies, if I'm saying it right, bot flies, They'll fly around the nasal passages of a sheep and they'll lay larvae. And those larvae will go up into the sheep's nose. And left untreated, it will affect their brain and it can kill them. Okay? So a shepherd's really got to pay attention to his sheep to see if they're showing signs of what's going on with this nasal bot by these flies. Because flies fly around all over the places in farm situations, but there's a certain fly that'll land on a sheep's nose and it'll lay larvae, and those larvae, if left untreated, will go up into the nasal passage and it will burrow, try to burrow into the brain. And it'll drive a sheep insane, where if he's got it to go up that far, he'll ram his head into whatever he can find because of the madness that's going inside of its brain. Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I read it this morning in Sunday school. We'll read it again here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse number 6. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into, what are you to bring into captivity? Every thought. Every thought, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Brethren, those are some important verses. Every thought that comes into your mind, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Is the thought that come into my head acknowledging and lifting up God, or is it causing some questions in my mind that's not coming from God? It's dangerous. Because you get stuck. Look, it can even happen with, look, I'll give you an example. You wake up in the morning and you got a set Bible reading thing you do. You got a set devotional time you spend with God. And you sit down and you get ready to spend some time with the Lord and your set Bible reading time. And as you get ready to sit down and you get ready to read your portions of scripture that you read in the morning, the devil throws a thought in your head and says, what about this verse over here that you got questions about? No, I'm not dealing with that right now. I'm here to spend some time with God. I'm here to fellowship with my Savior. And this is my portion of reading. Yeah, but you don't know the answer to that question yet. So why don't you go over there? And you see, that's coming from God. That's coming from the devil, not coming from God, because he wants you to get distracted from the time that you're getting ready to spend with the Savior over a question you might have in the other portion of Scripture. And there may be a time to look at that and try to study that thing out, but right now is the time to spend with the Savior. But see, the devil knows that, so he's going to try to get you distracted at what you're getting ready to try to do. And he'll even use the Word of God to do so. He'll get you when there's time to pray, to study, and when it's time to study, to pray. You got to have a walk with your Savior. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let that get up into your nasal passages. And if it's driving you crazy in your mind about some question you got, that's not coming from God. And you know how a shepherd fights those flies off? From what I learned or what I read, in the old time, they used to take oil and put it around here, and it'd keep the flies away. What's that oil represent? The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, look, the ways of God are easily being treated. They're peaceable. They're pleasant. They're not something to drive you crazy. If you got a question in your mind, even if it comes to the Bible and it's just driving you crazy and it gets you mad and it gets you irritated, my friend, that's not coming from God. That's the enemy. The enemy of our soul knows this Bible better than we know it. He's got it memorized from the first page to the last page. And when contending with Jesus Christ, he even tried to use the Word of God against God. Do you not think he'll do the same for us? That's why this book is so important. Because Jesus could have looked at the devil and said, get out of here, I created you. Get out of my face, I have nothing to do with you right now. Just leave me alone. And the devil would have had to listen. But he knows we can't do that. When the enemy messes with our mind, we can't go, enemy, get out of here because I created you. No, we can't do that. And the Lord knew that. That's why Jesus Christ used the Word of God to defeat the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written. And that gives us the key to victory. It is written, it is written. No matter, I might not feel it, I might not, it might not be something that I'm feeling good about right now, but the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. And I'm going to stand on the Word of God even though I don't feel it. So be cognizant of the attacks of the enemy. If it's something that's driving you crazy in your mind and you just can't get the answer to it, it may not be coming from God. Actually, I'll probably say it probably is not coming from God, because the ways of God are easy to be entreated. Don't let those flies get up in your nasal passage and mess with your brain and mess with your mind. Those thoughts, bring those thoughts into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him have them. I've tried to learn that through the years. Lord, I got this thought in my mind. I'm giving it to you. Lord, take this thought. And 5 minutes later, I might come back and I say, Lord, take this thought. I think Charles Spurgeon one time said this. He said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. You can't help the thoughts that might come in your mind, but there is something you can do once they're there. So don't let the enemy mess with you that either way. I don't know about you, there's been times I got down to pray and all kinds of ungodly stuff comes into my mind. It's because the enemy's trying to distract you from the power of prayer. Bring those thoughts into the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in fellowship with the Lord and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you'll be able to be a kind of sheep that brings honor and glory to our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and an honor it is to be a sheep in your sheepfold. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that you're my chief shepherd. And God, I pray you just help the brethren this morning, Lord. Help us to glean what is from your word. Lord, help us to walk closer to you. Help us to be a sheep that is pleasing in your eyesight. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all these things. And we pray it in the Lord Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to 407. 407. Joy, knowing that we did all we could for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. To hear him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. While we are here on this life, though, help us to remember that we need your guidance and your direction. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot keep clean before you. Just as we could not be clean without the blood of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. We need his daily cleansing in our daily sanctification in our walk with him as well. Help us to remember that, to be reminded that without him we can do nothing. Thank you for these reminders from your word today. We pray now that as we have the brief business meeting and question and answer time, give us your guidance, your direction, so that we may do what would be your will and be pleasing to you in the affairs of this church. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.